Now please turn your Bible with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. The passage I will be preaching is Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Well, I intended to preach the whole chapter, but then I realized there was so much in this chapter, so I only will preach on the first half of this chapter. So we are read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And in Nehemiah chapter 3, we saw that the people of God, the Jews, they joined together. They rose to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And this is indeed a beautiful, inspiring picture. But as we turn to chapter 4, we shall see the dark side of this passage, of this picture. For now, when the enemies heard that the Jews were rebuilding the wall, they got enraged, and they arose to attack the workers. How would Nehemiah and the people respond to the enemy's opposition? This is what we shall see in our passage today. Now please pay close attention to the reading of God's word. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Nehemiah chapter 4. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. And he said, "Oh yes, what they are building, even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their tongues on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is fading. There's too much trouble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." The grass and the flower wither, the heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God abides forever. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Do you know that there is an RP church in Nantes, France? This is the fruit of a mission work started in the 1980s by the RP Church of Ireland. Recently, I received a newsletter from RP Global Missions, and in this letter, I came across a prayer request from this mission church in Nantes. This request is about their project of constructing a new church building. After 7 months of waiting, they have finally received the building permit from the civil authorities. This is great news indeed. But there's one more hurdle to overcome before they could actually start to build. The residents in this neighborhood must be invited to a meeting to be informed of this project and be allowed to raise their objections. But this is just a normal procedure. It shouldn't be a big deal. But the issue is that people are generally suspicious of evangelicals in France. And it's expected that they will not be happy about this church project. They would not like to see a Protestant and conservative church to be built in their own neighborhood. But this is the popular sentiment towards evangelicals in France. And when the Jews in Jerusalem were trying to rebuild the city wall, they met with similar sentiment from their neighbors, only more hostile, only more undisguised. And we have already read in chapter 2 that Sanballat and Tobiah were greatly displeased when Nehemiah showed them the king's letters which granted him permission to rebuild the wall. And now in chapter 4, when they heard that the Jews were actually building the wall, they became angry. They became greatly enraged. They were the worst kind of neighbors you could expect. They gnashed their teeth. They waved their fists. As soon as they noticed any sign of improvement or any degree of prosperity that God's people were able to enjoy, they always sought their downfall, and they resented their success. So these are the neighbors of the Jewish people. But you may say, I don't have neighbors like those guys. I enjoy good relationships with my neighbors. And it's true that the public sentiment towards Christians in America is not as hostile as that in France, and is nowhere comparable to that malevolence felt by Nehemiah and his people in Jerusalem. But you would be gravely mistaken if you think that you are in a safe place while you have no need to worry about opposition to your faith, where you have no use to prepare for attacks on your life. For you are in the world, and the world hates you, and the prince of this world seeks every opportunity to crush your faith and to bring you back under his subjection. So don't be deceived, for what happened to Nehemiah and his people in this passage is happening to you. As long as you are engaged in the work to advance the kingdom of God, Satan will be enraged. He will oppose you, he will attack you, he will do everything he can to stop your work. And so for this reason, this passage is given to you, not to frighten you, not to dismay you, but to strengthen you, to encourage you, that through the endurance and faith demonstrated by Nehemiah in this passage, you may have hope, you may fight the good fight and conquer the great enemy. In our passage today, three schemes of the devil are exposed. Three attacking strategies are employed by the enemies to stop the work of God's people. And in each case, a counterattack is demonstrated, resulting in the frustration of the enemy's scheme. So if you please, you may read this passage as a combat manual to train you to fight, how to fight the spiritual warfare, how to wrestle against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So now let us look at the first strategy of the enemy. The enemy's first strategy is to discourage. To discourage your sincere effort to please God, to discourage you from undertaking the good work you are called by God. Look at verse 1. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. When the Jews were idle and neglecting the restoration of the wall, Sanballat was pleased to leave them alone, to live in peace with them. But when he heard that the Jews were actually building the wall, he was greatly enraged. He was quick to launch his first attack, and the first thing he did was to jeer at the Jews. And he did this in public, in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, for he intended the Jews to hear his jeering as well and to be discouraged. And Sanballat constructed his jeering on two major arguments. First, he referred to the inadequacy of the Jews. As he said in verse 2, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves?" And then he pointed out the impossibility of this project. For he said, "Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish?" And to these arguments, Tobiah the Ammonite added the third. And he said, "Yes, what they are building, even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." So he was speaking of the futility of their efforts. Even if you manage to build the wall, it will not stand against the weight of a fox, not to mention the attack of a strong army. Then what's the point of building it? Surely you are building the wall in vain. These statements of the enemies sound harsh and sarcastic, but they do hold elements of truth. For we are indeed weak and feeble, and the walls we have built are too often fragile and easy to collapse. For how many times have you resolved to read your Bible daily, or to have regular family worship, but a small incident arises, and you become distracted, and you give in to your previous routines? And how many times have you resolved never to watch pornography again, but a sensual image or thought pops up, and you become aroused, and you gave in and gave back and returned back to your old sinful habits. Isn't it true that even our strongest resolution is unable to resist even a slight temptation? We have to admit that even a fox is able to break down our stone wall. How discouraging it is to recognize this reality. But the enemies, they only told half-truth, for they completely left God out of this picture, and they intended to discourage the people. But Nehemiah was quick to discern their scheme, and he immediately brought God back to the picture. For the first thing he did was to pray, "Hear, O God, for we are despised." And in his prayer, Nehemiah cast the taunt of the enemies on God, and he asked God to turn back their taunt on their heads. It's as if the enemy throw their taunt as a weapon against the Jews. But Nehemiah threw the weapon back to God and asked God to throw this weapon back to the heads of the enemies. He asked God to turn back their taunt on their own heads. Nehemiah recognized that the enemies were not merely jeering at him and the people, but they were provoking God to anger. So God would judge. So God would avenge. The hand of God would scatter his enemies and strengthen the work of his people. So Nehemiah didn't even bother to argue with Sanballat and Tobiah. He prayed to God and he returned to his business. Verse 6 says, "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Brothers and sisters, when your enemies jeer at you, when they laugh at your faith and try to convince you of the futility of all your efforts to serve your Lord, are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling that your faith starts to waver, that your strength starts to fail? How then should you respond? Don't waste your time to argue with your opponents. Leave your opponents, leave the internet, and go to your closet to pour out your heart before God, to fix your eyes on the power and the majesty of your God. Let God fight the battle. Let God contend with those who contend with you. But as for you, go back to your work. Put your mind to the real duties you have been given. Carry on the good work you have started. Build up the wall for the kingdom of God. Don't let the devil discourage you from your royal service. But let God strengthen you. Strengthen your feeble hands and establish your frail mind to continue the kingdom work, to accomplish the noble task. And the enemy's second strategy is to disrupt. Sanballat and Tobiah had expected that their jeering would make the Jews cease to work. But when they heard that the repairing of the wall was still going forward, they realized that their first scheme had failed, and they became even more angry. Then they came up with a new scheme. The Samaritans from the north, the Arabs from the south, the Ammonites from the east, and the Ashdodites from the west, all the neighbors of the Jews, plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. The Hebrew word for confusion literally means wandering. The enemies plotted to cause confusion in Jerusalem, to make the builders wander from the work of their hands, to disrupt their work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So this is the second strategy employed by the enemies, to disrupt. But how did the people respond? Verse 9 says, "We pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." Again, we see that their first resort is prayer, a simple yet powerful strategy. In face of an impending attack, they didn't panic. They turned to God for help. They sought the counsel of God. And as a result of their prayer, they decided to set a watchman to warn them should the enemies come to attack. In this way, the rest of the people could still focus on the work of their hands. In this way, the repairing of the wall could still go forward. And in this way, the enemy's second scheme was frustrated. But the enemies didn't back off, and a storm was actually gathering. And the first dark cloud on the horizon was an internal complaint. For in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And it's not hard to notice how this complaint echoes the jeering of the enemies. We are feeble. The work is impossible. We couldn't do it. For as soon as we forget God's promise, the words of the deceiver, the words of the enemy, will sink into our hearts and weigh us down. And the second dark cloud was even darker. It was the enemy's renewed attack. This time they were not content with merely disrupting the work, but they planned to kill the workers and therefore put a permanent end to the work. So the tension escalated. The enemies resorted to their last strategy to destroy the workers, to destroy the work, to destroy everything. And the situation was so grave that Jews who lived nearby came from all directions and urged Nehemiah and the Jews in Jerusalem 10 times. "You must return to us. You must abandon your work in Jerusalem. You must flee to us for your lives." So this was a breaking point. Internal weariness, external threat, and a well-intentioned advice were crushing the morale of the workers in Jerusalem. Fight or flight? Nehemiah chose to fight. He stationed the people in strategic places. He equipped the people with weapons, and he delivered to the people his eve of battle speech. Look at verse 14. "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." In this short yet inspiring speech, Nehemiah addressed their fear, their faith, and their motivation for a fight. Brothers and sisters, when your enemies couldn't couldn't discourage your heart, when your enemies couldn't disrupt your good work, they would be more and more enraged. They would be more and more angry, and they would muster all their strength, all their resource against you to destroy you. But don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight for your soul. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who is great and awesome, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Trust in the Lord, and he will deliver you from every evil deed. He will rescue you from the lion's mouth. He will set you free from the snare of death, and he will surely bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom and award to you the crown of righteousness, the unfading crown of glory. But if you shrink back, if you abandon your faith, if you throw away your weapons and give in to your enemies, then the Lord will rebuke you. He will judge your unfaithfulness, and he will declare to you, "I never knew you. Depart from me, your wicked and worthless servant." When Nehemiah charged the people to remember the Lord, he emphasized the greatness, the fearfulness of the Lord. But to you Christians who have a fuller understanding of our Lord, this charge should carry even more power. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, yet humbled himself and dwelt among you, who endured reviling and jeering from his enemies, who withstood the disruptions and the challenges of his enemies, who was crucified, killed, destroyed, who fought for you, who shed his blood for you, who died for you, and who rose from the dead for your sake. And he has defeated the devil. He has overcome the world, and he will even destroy death and put all his enemies under his feet. Therefore, remember the Lord Jesus and fight the good fight for his sake and in his name. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you know how weak and feeble we are. Our work is too heavy for us. Our enemies are too strong for us. And like barking dogs and roaring lions, they prowl around us, seeking every chance to discourage, disrupt, and destroy us. But Lord, you are great and awesome. You are merciful and gracious. Lift our souls to you. Let us pray to you. Let us remember you and all the works that you have done for us. Let us stand in the strength of your might. Let us put on the whole armor of yours so that we may fight the good fight and be more than conquerors in all things. O Lord, help us be faithful, be strong, be courageous, and let us not flee, let us not shrink back. O Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus, our great King. Amen.